A secret note stuffed into an elementary schoolgirl's sock led the police to the little boy's body. The mother says she was being held captive and had nothing to do with it. The boyfriend says she helped him cover up the truth. This is the story of Mason Dominguez, the Las Vegas 4-year-old who was found in the freezer. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. This case began on February 22, 2022, when a little girl brought a note to school hidden in her sock. The note had been written over a period of weeks, anytime the girl's mother found herself alone for just a few seconds. Just a few words here and there on some sticky notes she'd found in the car and managed to secretly bring inside. Dacia Maldonado needed to find a way to get help while keeping herself and her 7-year-old daughter alive. So she told the girl to hide the notes in the bottom of her sock and then sent her off to her teachers, waiting with dread and hope at home for the police to arrive. And arrive they did. A teacher contacted the Clark County School District Police in Las Vegas that day and said the woman was being held against her will and was worried about her 4-year-old son. The mother hadn't seen her boy since December 11th, more than 2 months. The local police went to stake out the little girl's house and pulled a man and woman over as they were driving away. Back at the police station, the woman said she'd been abused by the man, her boyfriend, Brandon Toseland, that she was basically being held hostage in the house. She said that for 11 months, he wouldn't let her have a cell phone. He sometimes tied her up or handcuffed her, even in the car, to pick up the kids from school. That explained why police had seen handcuffs in the car when they pulled the pair over. She said the house was a fortress with locks, alarms, and motion sensors, so Dacia and her kids couldn't leave. The woman said she wasn't even allowed to enter the garage. Now, I don't know how much she knew when she made that specific mention of the garage, but when she said she was worried her son might be dead, authorities went to search the house, and the garage is exactly where they found the body of 4-year-old Mason Dominguez. He was in a garbage bag inside a freezer. The bag was hidden beneath a piece of cardboard that was made to look like a false bottom. There was food on top of the cardboard to help conceal it, and there was a tire on top of the whole freezer to make it hard to get to. There were odor-absorbing bags, fans, and an air purifier all around the freezer. Not suspicious at all. A neighbor said that a large rectangular hole had been dug in the home's backyard over the course of the past month. It didn't seem that suspicious at the time, of course, but now it seems like maybe Brandon Toseland had plans to make it a grave. A family friend screamed and collapsed when she saw the crime scene tape at the house. She said little Mason was so cute, just outgoing and happy. She also knew Toseland to be very aggressive. Mason's mom's story goes that her boyfriend locked Mason in a bedroom on December 11th and wouldn't let her in to see him after that. She said a considerable amount of time went by, but Toseland still refused. When she demanded to know what happened on December 17th and tried to beat down the door, Toseland told her that Mason was deceased, but that it had been an accident. See, Mason had been sick back on December 11th, that day that Toseland locked him in the main bedroom. Toseland says that he took the boy to the bedroom to care for him, but he said he later went in and found Mason covered in vomit, not breathing. He said he tried to do CPR, but that it was too late. But Toseland also said that if he let Dacia into that room, his freedom would be taken away, which I take to mean I will be taken to jail for killing him. When 4-year-old Mason was found in the freezer, his little body was said to have obvious physical injuries. The medical examiner later confirmed that he had died from blunt force injuries. His small intestine was ripped open, he had a cut on his left eye, and there was bruising on his face and body. Hardly someone who had died from choking on vomit. The day after the note was discovered in the daughter's sock, 35-year-old Brandon Toseland made his first appearance in court, facing 2 charges of first-degree kidnapping and 1 charge of open murder. He was denied bail. Before the end of the year, he would be facing at least 12 felony charges. In court, the family of Dacia's first husband showed up with Justice for Mason signs. They said, "We are Mason's voice. He is no longer here to defend himself. We have to get justice, no matter what it takes." Dacia's first husband, Mason's real father, had died of an unknown respiratory illness, which I take to mean COVID, in January 2021. After that, Toseland had stepped in as a friend of the husband to comfort her. The relationship soon turned romantic. And by soon, I mean like really, really soon. Her husband died in January 2021, and she had moved in with Toseland by that March. Then she says he exerted control over the family little by little until they were effectively being held captive. She said she noticed bruises on Mason's body after they moved in with Toseland, but he said Mason was just clumsy. They allegedly took him out of school so teachers wouldn't be concerned. She says Toseland then took her phone and told her boss she was quitting her job as a phlebotomist. She filed a civil complaint against him in March 2022 after Toseland was arrested thanks to that note in the sock. She's asking for $30,000 in damages. She knows Toseland doesn't have the money, but she just wants to prove a point. And this wasn't Toseland's first brush with the law, as is so often the case. Back in September 2013, he allegedly punched his sister in the face several times and then pushed her in front of her baby. The case was later dismissed. In December of 2018, he punched his girlfriend in the face because he believed she was cheating on him. He got 48 hours of community service for that one. He battled the mother of his 7-year-old and 5-year-old children for custody and was awarded joint custody somehow. Now, in the weeks after his most recent arrest, just how dangerous the man had been became more and more apparent. Dacia says she and the kids were locked in separate rooms in their home to keep them from talking about Toseland, but somehow she managed to convince him to let her daughter sleep with her one night, the night she took the chance to slide that note into the little girl's sock. In October 2022, a grand jury added 2 more charges to Toseland's rap sheet, choking Mason's sister both with his arm and a vacuum cleaner cord. The charges arose when the grand jury was presented a drawing by the 7-year-old that shows Toseland with his hands around her neck and says, "He is choking me." So that puts Toseland at 12 felony charges, 1 count of first-degree murder, 3 counts of child abuse, neglect, or endangerment resulting in substantial bodily harm, 3 counts of child abuse, neglect, or endangerment, 1 count of first-degree kidnapping of a minor resulting in substantial bodily harm, 2 counts of first-degree kidnapping, and 2 counts of battery constituting domestic violence. But the thing is that Toseland claims Dacia knew everything. His attorneys filed a countersuit saying that she helped conceal the death. She, of course, says that she was barricaded in a bedroom at this time, had no idea what happened to Mason, and was not allowed to use her phone. Toseland's lawyers say the handcuffs were for sexy stuff, and she totally had her phone because they would check each other's phones all of the time, like completely normal couples do. Of course, Toseland had her phone in his possession on the day the cops pulled them over, which seems to back up her story more than his. Toseland's counterclaim says that both parents knew the exact day of Mason's death, and they decided together to keep him in the freezer to preserve him until they could afford a funeral. They were both in on the lie to tell their extended family that Mason was staying with a grandparent, and that Dacia was lying about all of this because she wanted to sell her story for the money. Her family did start a GoFundMe in the hope of collecting $40,000 for Mason's funeral, but I'm not sure that's the cash grab Toseland is trying to make it out to be.
A disturbing counterclaim presented by Brandon Toseland's attorney, Craig Mueller. Hills aside, we haven't heard before about the circumstances surrounding the death of 4-year-old Mason Dominguez. Mason's mother, Dacia Maldonado, filed a civil lawsuit against Toseland in March. In his counterclaim filed this week in district court, Toseland alleges Maldonado cooperated in the crime and, quote, was aware of any distress Mason may have been in prior to his death. He also says they both knew the exact day the boy died. Toseland claims Dacia wanted to sell her story, quote, all to obtain money, by launching fundraising pages and contacting national media outlets. In the months after Mason's death, the counterclaim also alleges Toseland and Maldonado agreed to explain the boy's absence by saying Mason was away staying at his grandmother's home.
Toseland had a hearing for a new public defender in March 2023 after he dismissed his previous one. There, he said that the whole case is built on deception and theatrics. The judge advised him to just stop talking. In April 2023, Toseland was back in court for a discovery hearing as prosecutors asked for more time to provide evidence to the defense. Toseland was scheduled to go to trial in October of this year, but given the request for more time, we'll see when it's rescheduled for. Toseland is possibly facing the death penalty, but has pleaded not guilty to all charges. His Facebook page is still up, and you'll be pleased to note that it's chock full of Bible verses. I will say, in the interest of trying to not be biased, that he did post a message in 2020 asking if anyone needed help getting around or buying supplies during the COVID lockdown. And in lieu of birthday presents in 2019, he asked for donations to the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. $1 was raised. So while I'm certainly leaning one way on the facts of this case, I'm not going to say Toseland is all bad. Now, I've seen people online blaming everyone from Dacia to her first husband's family for the death of this little boy. But if the control allegations against Brandon Toesland are correct, there's a chance no one saw the abuse. A Nevada nonprofit that helps domestic violence victims says we need to understand that oftentimes it's the psychological versus the physical. Neighbors say the signs weren't obvious to them, if there were any, and I highly doubt Dacia was telling anyone. Well, as usual, this was heartbreaking, so let me leave you with some words about little Mason from his GoFundMe page. In a short 4 years, Mason Dominguez left his imprint on our hearts forever. This sweet child had a precious little voice, an upbeat attitude, and a laugh that would melt your heart. If you were blessed to meet him, you knew he was a sensitive soul who could do no wrong. Those big brown eyes and golden curls would captivate anyone. Mason was so bright and loved to learn. At the age of 3, he had known all of his letters and numbers. Mason frequently told his mom how much he loved her and how beautiful she was. He'd also sign, "I love you," which he learned from his dad. We will forever remember this sweet and precious little boy and cherish all these wonderful memories we have of him. Our family knows that Mason is in heaven with his daddy, dancing and playing forever. So, is there any chance that this was an accident or that this guy didn't act alone? Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.